since you, now that you, this is like your third or fourth week of clapping, and mm-hmm. you're getting a real like sort of like joie de vivre with it. You're very like,
it's true.
Here I go.
It's true.
You know, it's yeah. I really enjoy it.
I find that like lending an air of whimsy to proceedings really, really helps. You know, yeah. much like P.T. Barnum did.
Ooh.
Movie The Greatest Showman.
An air of humbug.
Oh my God, you're leaping right into it, huh?
I thought so. I mean, listen, the thing is,
we don't want to go to do our like little like, you know, assign Patrick Star at birth bit, you know.
I could do a series of bits about not doing voice training. That'd be cool. I mean, listen, we could do some like silly bullshit like that ahead of time. It's just I'm really excited to talk about this movie.
You are
the thing.
Did you both like the film?
No.
Listen. I wouldn't go that far. Okay. I think this is one of the. It's not inoffensive. it's certainly not good as a film or as a musical. However, you must understand about me. I am a little faggot, and as such, the listen to this not on headphones, by the way. The thing about this is any musical, I will receive like a baseline level of enjoyment. And so I'm kind of like Anton Ego in the sense that like I'm specifically trying to avoid musicals that I know I don't want to like because I will like them. Like I don't want to see Hamilton. I don't want to see Wicked because I will be filled with a little like homosexual joy and whimsy in my heart. Okay. And I don't want that, right? And so being forced to see this for work, you must understand, regardless of how I feel about the film, regardless of how I feel about its politics, the baseline level of joy and whimsy is there, you know?
So yeah, that's interesting because I too am a little faggot. And,
interesting. Curious. Riley, are you aware that if you start taking estradiol, you too can say it?
You could say the word because you get called it enough on the street. And that legally means you can say it.
I think we could get MK Ultra money by proposing that trade. Be like, look, just take the estrogen. Or like, you know, what are those like Lower East Side, what are those Lower East Side sort of affecting always chewing his in, guys?
The Lower Eastern side.
You remember those like anti-racist dinners that like you would pay someone to like, $5,000 to come over and educate you on how not to be racist?
You mean every dinner at my house?
Yeah, I'm going bankrupt over here because I keep paying $5,000 to come over and have dinner with you. We remember this. We remember Sayara Rao's thing of like anti-racist lunches, right? I think we can do this except for $5,000 each, me and Massey will come to your location, plus travel costs.
Obviously.
And we will like transition you. You'll get the estradiol. Out of like some kind of cool Attasha case, and then guide you through being able to say the F slur.
That's right.
That's the service that we offer.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be giving you a Stradiol and an Attaché case, but yes.
I think though that's a good service. Also, I like that nobody cannot pay transport costs for at least one of you. There's nobody.
We're very, yeah, exactly. You think you're getting away with it on the cheap, you know, by living in either Glasgow or New York City, and you would be wrong because you still have to get the other one of us. We're like the two Coca-Cola executives. We can never be in the same location at the same time.
Or else people might forget how to be trans.
That's right.
There's the silly bullshit that there doesn't talk about the movie.
But I will say, in terms of being a little faggot, I'm a different kind of little faggot, which is a tri-state area Jewish faggot. Which means I hate this musical because Pasek and Paul are two of my least favorite living artists. The guys who wrote the music for this fucking thing.
And, awful.
So
absolutely
I'm like,
awful.
So I am taking on the sort of like, I am a catty bitch when it comes to the musicals because I know they could be better because I do love the musical theater, having grown up with it severely.
Yeah. Whereas I have the kind of like, at the remove of being from London, which has a musical theater scene, but like it's not New York City, right? And so consequently, I'm just like, I just like everything a bit. And so there's a real like kind of devils versus saints advocate thing going on here, right? And then Riley, you were judging this between the two of us.
I was going to say, really, I think what we have here as well, November, is your relationship with musicals is like Christians when they first discovered that you could sing Christian music with like an electric guitar or like yes. a rapper backing it up. Yes. You're like, I'm just uh-huh. so happy mm-hmm. that someone's doing something for me, finally.
Exactly. You know? That's exactly yeah. right. And I mean, I'm definitely, yeah, of that tradition. And I mean, yeah. the thing is, Riley, you're also kind of like familiar with the traditions of our people, with uh-huh. the traditions of like the LGBT community, right? Uh-huh. It's just, it tends to be more of the like pounding techno music with a lot of like shirtless oiled guys, right?
Yeah, that's what the yeah. G stands for. It's techno, it's lesbians, gay, bisexuals,
bisexual techno music with,
yeah. with thrumming bass and oiled guys.
Yeah, let's go Berghain tonight.
That really does describe one part of my social circle.
Yeah. And so consequently, right, I'm going to make the submission to you now that you can't, if you can't handle us
in front of everybody
at our musical theater, you don't deserve us at our techno.
That's right. I can't just pick and choose which parts of the culture I want to appropriate.
Legitimately, I actually believe this.
As Elaine Stritch once said, I'll drink to that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I've noticed is that
joke for the people at home,
I do run a lot, and somebody chasing
you.
Hey, get out of here. I do find that the best music, that my best running playlist is like gay club anthems for running.
Yeah. Well, what you've got to start doing is you've got to start working in some original cast recordings into that. Uh-huh. You know,
so
yeah.
I tell you, I did when I was young, I did have. Don't draw any conclusions about this.
I will.
So number one,
go on.
That's the instruction.
I'm getting my piece of paper out to draw.
my jump to conclusions, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. For the listener at home, November's getting out a great big mat. On one side of it says conclusions, and she's waggling her eyebrows theatrically. Maddie has set up a 4 foot tall easel on top of a stand. And they're holding what appears to be a novelty paintbrush, also waggling their eyebrows theatrically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I, when I was young, had a little CD player, and the CDs that I burned a hole in by playing
well,
so
they come
much.
With a hole, actually. Yeah, it's right in the middle. It's the big hole there.
You know what I mean. I played a lot
second
of
second hole.
Looking at a new CD, like, damn, somebody really liked listening to this.
Somebody really liked listening to the innermost song of this CD. The CDs I you know wore out basically by listening to them so much were the Beastie Boys' "Hello Nasty."
Good.
Mm-hmm.
A burned CD of different Norwegian black metal bands, and then the cast recording of a chorus line.
God, you could have been so many different people.
I'm just pointing at the camera to point at Riley.
Uh-huh. That's the thrill. You discover all of the other like multiverse people you almost were when you do this shit. So, you know.
I was almost like a 100 different guys and some girls.
I really want to see the everything everywhere all at once Riley like multiverse, where it's just one of them is like Norwegian like black metal Riley. Yeah. He's got like a shitload of piercings, long beard.
One of them is a girl in my band. That's crazy.
I moved to New York because I wanted to follow Less Savvy Fav on tour, but then they just never left
Don't
Brooklyn.
Say that name to me.
Hey guys, I just want to, on the record, I was at the Inches release party in Bushwick in like 2004. I was there, baby. I was there. Q and I, you played.
Incredible.
You were there being a vice do, fortunately.
You just yanked me back in time a good like 15 years there, Riley. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
I could have been the younger partner of the saxophone player from the Zootones.
Wow. I could have been. Yeah, the guy finally telling her to put some shoes on. You're just like pressing the like generate random life thing, and you're hitting it time and time again. It just says like replacement bassist in Interpol.
Yeah, what, really?
It was Stella Star that had the hot lady bassist, actually. Uh-huh. A fact I filed away when I saw them when I was a teenager for no reason at all.
I feel like there's a lot of hot bassists in general.
I'm right here, baby.
Yeah, I mean,
look, it's Christmas. We watched a movie. Maddie, what movie did we watch and why?
Okay, so I had this idea right after we did the P.T. Barnum episode to watch as the bonus, The Greatest Showman, the movie from, 2017, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And oh boy, is it.
Yeah, and
this is a real feature.
It is about former. It is not about mayoring. It is about a former mayor, P.T. Barnum,